And the Bulldog's with us. Alex Jones in the house. We're going to take your calls with him next on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back. Alex Jones with us. This hour, we're going to take your calls as well. Alex, in terms of what is beginning to happen around this country, I'm concerned about a lot of things. I went back to St. Louis a month or so ago. I went to Ferguson, Missouri. I saw some of the damage after the initial civil disturbance nights. The officer, I do not believe, is going to get indicted, who was involved in the shooting of the unarmed Michael Brown, because all the evidence seems to be that there was a fight, a scuffle. And you may accuse the officer of emptying his gun too much, but it seems like he had to protect himself. Be that as it may, if the officer does not get indicted, I think all holy hell is going to break out in Ferguson. I went through the Detroit riots in my teens. I saw what happened there, and I'm concerned that something like that could happen again. How serious do you think we are, seriously close, to erupting in this country under just any possibility?
Well, I think we're very, very close, and multiple CIA analysts have come on my own broadcast and said that a trigger event is what they're looking for. And there could be a trigger event against the establishment. There could be a trigger event that could be used for balkanization, divide and conquer against the people. There could be just so many things that could happen. A soccer mom torches herself on the Capitol or White House steps, or a cop shoots an unarmed kid on live video feed, and then every major city has riots and buildings being burned down. The problem is the media has hyped this so much that it's almost the default response now. Instead of having a neighborhood barbecue, people go out and start demonstrating, and then criminals use the demonstration to start looting. And then the federalized, militarized police come out and crack down, and then that just causes the explosion to get even bigger. I had reporters in Ferguson, you know, close to where you live there in Missouri, part of the year. So you're the real expert on this. In fact, we had you on to talk about it, George. But at first, you know, we saw the initial reports, the initial witnesses. It looked like that the police officer was charged, that this young man had just robbed a store and attacked someone, and that he then charged the police officer. That's what the police had said, that they didn't release the footage right away. It turned out that was true. A third autopsy has been done, and it shows that he was in a scuffle and had charged the officer. That was a third autopsy ordered by John, by the Attorney General, Eric Holder. Quite frankly, it looks like the federal government and the media, the establishment media, tried to hype all this up to create some type of clash, and what they're pushing for is a race war. I mean, when you watch Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson and all these usual suspects and people like Reverend Wright up in Chicago, they will just try to use any event they can to get a bunch of fighting going on. And as you know now, this isn't just in Ferguson. They have had shops attacked, homes attacked, businesses attacked. Police have been shot at and shot repeatedly now in and around Missouri and Ferguson in a huge escalation. So whereas I support demonstrations, whether I agree with people or not, I support the First Amendment. We had reporters there that were shot with Al Jazeera. Joe Biggs, who's an Iraq and Afghanistan combat vet, and who was even reporting pretty much on the side of the police because he had gathered the evidence, was shot with rubber bullets, attacked by police, told, "We will kill you," while he was showing rioters attacking things. He wasn't even in their way, and they treated him like he was worse than Al-Qaeda. Jakari Jackson got shot at, got threatened, got attacked. My reporters were there off and on for 2 weeks during the most intense parts of that, and now it's escalating again, as you just said. Look, I mean, if the police officer's not indicted, and the witnesses and the autopsy show that he was attacking the police officer, then just like the situation with Zimmerman, I think Zimmerman was in the wrong going out of his house following this guy, but witnesses, including black witnesses, said that they did see Trayvon on top of Zimmerman. That doesn't mean that Zimmerman doesn't have his own problems and he's now gotten in trouble. Doesn't mean that Zimmerman wasn't stupid. In the case of the police officer, I don't think he has the guilt, the slight guilt or the partial guilt that Zimmerman had. I just don't think there's guilt there. And I think the fact that this narrative has been put out by the New Black Panthers and others, that there needs to be some type of big response and some type of huge event if this cop doesn't get indicted. I mean, I wouldn't want to be the subject of an investigation and the autopsy proves I told the truth and witnesses say I told the truth, and then people say we're going to riot and attack people, and some have been on the ground saying they're going to kill cops and attack white-owned businesses. I mean, I'm hearing extremely racist vitriol pointed at everybody in Missouri, everybody in St. Louis, everybody in Ferguson and surrounding areas, because I mean it's even getting into Kansas City and Chicago, Illinois, people are threatening, and Dallas, Texas, and it's just absolutely stupid for this to happen. It's the last thing Americans need. But again, if you're a globalist manipulating this government,
you want this to happen.
You want this to happen because exactly cities burning, riots, race war is exactly what you're looking for to divide the people.
The Arab Spring. Here we go. To the phones we go now. Let's go to Denver to get things started. Johnny is with us. You're on with Alex Jones. Johnny, go ahead.
Thanks, gentlemen,
sure
for
thing.
Your courage, both of you, George and Alex. And thanks also to Premier Radio Network for having Dr. Judy Wood on and back in 9/11.
Sure.
And I think ultimately we have to, we're all in the same boat. We're all searching for the truth. And I'd like you guys just to comment and talk about a little bit about Dr. Judy Wood, someone even Richard C. Hoagland has endorsed, and talk about how we're all searching for the truth and how we can work together to achieve it.
Well, Dr. Judy Wood, of course, she's been on the program several times with her theories that those buildings were brought down by some kind of pulse-type weaponry. And as you know, Alex, she hates it when I say her theory, because she says it's not a theory, it's fact. It's compelling.
Sure. Well, I mean, it's a fact that we were lied to about 9/11. It's a fact that radical Islamists have been protected. It is a fact that certain elements of the military-industrial complex want terrorism to happen so they can take our liberties and get giant budgets. President Eisenhower warned us about that in his farewell address. I agree with her that clearly, I've talked to high-level military people, folks that worked in the Star Wars program, Dr. Bob Bowman, who died last year, and there are a lot of secret weapons. They do have energy beams, particle beams. They do have these disruption beams that are right out of a science fiction movie, like Independence Day, where it just vaporizes the buildings. There were toasted cars blocks away, and then other cars that weren't toasted. Again, I don't know what really went on there, but it's very simple. If you're a criminal globalist group, which Zbigniew Brzezinski and others have written books about admitting exist, that are inside intelligence agencies, you can have radical Islamists as decoys involved in one attack, then you do something else piggybacked on them, to then create even more fear. And I think when we look at 9/11, regardless of what brought down the buildings, I had been on the air myself doing news at the time, not just my own show, and I was on from 9 in the morning till midnight on different shows in my own one and filing video reports on local news. And I drove to get a pizza for some of the crew at 4 o'clock right before they blew up Building 7, the 47-story skyscraper a block away from the World Trade Center Tower 1 and 2. And I heard them on CBS radio, back when they had that still, saying on 590 AM, where you're being broadcast right now here in Austin, that, to tune in and listen to you, I heard them saying they're going to have a controlled demolition and bring down Building 7. Well, I go back, see nothing in the news about it, but then start announcing as I'm eating a piece of pizza during the break about to go live. I come on and say, oh my gosh, the Solomon Brothers building, Building 7, has fallen in its own footprint. But then they started announcing that it had fallen from fires. And I went, wait a minute. I just heard them announce on the radio that it fell from controlled demolition. Well, then, years later, all the archives of CNN and BBC and CBS got uploaded to the web. Because before that, people didn't have the web storage space, so they hadn't put those archives on. Well, CNN and everybody put the full 24 hours up on their website, and not me, but you know, activists, in fact, Coast to Coast activists and others, went and downloaded all of that info and went and found all the video of them saying what I had heard, they're going to blow it up. And then we even have CNN with the cops going, get back, they're going to bring it down. And when I played that clip in like 2004, when those videos finally resurfaced, they spun it and said, Alex Jones says cops blew it up. No, I didn't. The cops didn't blow it up. I went to New York the next year, and at 9/11 events, two of the very police officers that were on CNN saying, get back, came up, and they said, no, thank you for defending us. We heard the countdown on the Red Cross radios that it was a controlled demolition, get back. And that's why we said get back. They got word just literally 30 seconds before and told people get back and save lives from the controlled demolition. And I'm not saying the whole Red Cross is involved either. That's what the cops said. And they're clearly on CNN saying get back. They're going to bring that building down. It's going to blow up. So again, we have the newscast, BBC announcing it had fallen before it fell. I mean, these are real videos with tens of millions of views online right now on YouTube, folks. It's not my opinion. Two BBC channels, CNN, CBS, that's four TV channels saying that it was going to be brought down by controlled demolition. Then BBC changes it 15 minutes before, or about 20 minutes before, and says, oh, it's already fallen from fire. So then they got, no, we're not going to control demo it. It fell from fire as the reporter stands in front of the building with it still behind her. And she's looking at it going, well, we're getting this, that it's fallen, but it's Aaron Brown, same thing on CNN. Now, listen, that's not Alex Jones saying that. That's not George Norrie. You can take what you want from that, listeners. Go watch the videos. What does that mean? George, what does that mean to you? What do you, as a guy that's won, what is it, three Emmys for news, what does that sound like to you?
You know what that sounds like. And the bottom line here with all this, Alex, is you and I can't stop doing what we're doing, because if we do, it falls apart.
Absolutely. So, I mean, I can't say I didn't hear them say they were going to blow it up, and then we have the video. But for a couple of years, in fact, my wife at the time, my wife literally came to me that night and she said, you're saying they blew up that building. It fell. Are you sure you heard that on the news? And I'm not blaming her, because that does sound crazy. But then the video came out on three networks, four different feeds. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what happened. But they blew it up. I talked to the police officers that were listening to the FEMA/Red Cross radios. And the Red Cross wasn't involved. They just had the countdown. And they said, what's that? It's a one-minute countdown to bring down that building. You better get back. And the cops are all, well, why aren't we getting in our radio?
Buildings just don't.
All I know is the countdown, you know, 30, 29, 28, 27, 26, 25, 24. And then the cops start running. Get back. It's coming down. It's coming down. And, again, how do they spin it on national television later against me? Alex Jones thinks the cops and firemen blew up.
No, it's crazy.
No, I didn't. I said they heard the countdown.
It's crazy. But Building 7, that's the problem. That's the one they can't figure out. And that, I think, is where all the evidence points to a controlled demolition. Or as Dr. Judy Woods would say, you know, an attack of some kind of weapon.
Well, you're right. I mean, the deputy emergency manager of New York, I interviewed him. And 2 weeks later, he was dead. And you can pull the video up. It's on the web. Just type in Deputy Emergency Manager New York, you know, says Building 7 controlled demolition. He heard the countdown. He saw it all happen. And then he was dead 2 weeks later. this is the type of stuff that we deal with. I mean, this is really scary stuff. Gary Webb, I mean, I talked about this last hour, but Gary Webb with a big new movie out with Renner producing it and starring as Gary Webb. Gary Webb was going to publish a new book and wanted me to put up a website, an online bibliography of all of his documents, because I'd interviewed him so many times, other people wouldn't, because he was a black sheep.
Kill the messenger, right?
Declassified. He didn't commit suicide. He was going to vindicate his name. He was about to come out with a self-published book. All I'm telling your listeners is this is not a game. This is not a joke.
Kill the messenger. Alan in Springfield, Missouri. Go ahead, Alan.
Hey, thanks for having me on, guys.
Sure thing.
Thank you. I was just going to ask, what do you think, Alex, about the progression of where we're at in the Christian Bible, with like Luke chapter 21, with the FEMA camps that we have now, which we could go back to, I guess, Russia back in the early 1900s, which had the first style of those type of camps, then the Nazis, now us, and now we're heading to the Third World War, which the Holy Trinity and everything else. But that was my question. Where do you think we're at, and how soon do you think, give or take? I mean, you know, no one knows. It's not even Jesus. But anyway, how close it is to the second coming. Thank you very much.
Prophecy here, Alex.
Wow, that is a super important, complex question. I know this. I have a personal relationship with Christ. I am a Christian. I'm non-denominational. I'm a spiritual person, but I'm not a mainline religious person. I think I'm safe to say, kind of like George, I believe in trying to do good, trying to help others. I believe in the teachings of Christ. I'm a Christian. The problem is the big establishment churches on record have become basically state-run. They call them clergy response team. Most big preachers are now on government payroll covertly, but that's even been in mainstream news. So they're compromised, unfortunately. So they won't warn people about what's happening. But I read Revelations and Daniel and other books in the Bible, and you read what John on the Isle of Patmos wrote about. He was absolutely, you could call it future remote viewing. I mean, I don't know what you'd call it, but literally, I use that word too much, but it is literal. He was telling the future, and you look at nanotech and cashless societies and surveillance and world government, and the whole world will watch the beast and worship his image, and his image will be in Jerusalem, and there'll be a world leader, and there'll be a false prophet in 10 regions and 3 super regions and the 10 kings, and you read all this. The UN is establishing 10 regions they call kingdoms with 3 super regions, and the UN has a trust called Lucius Trust and actually endorses Lucifer officially in New York. And the more I research this, the more it blows me away how, even if you don't believe in God and the devil, folks, the establishment at Bohemian Grove and Skull and Bones and all these places, they are following the Bible, but they think Lucifer is the winner and we're idiots. George, what do you think?
Well, look, there are a lot of Satanists out there. There are a lot of devil worshipers out there, and something bizarre is going on here. I mean, when these Satanists petition to put up statues and things like that, and cities have to battle and fight it. There's a lot of evil out there, a lot of evil. But in terms of
evil is on the move.
The initial question about the second coming, you know what? One could say we're in end times right now, that all the signs are there. And, you know, when Israel became a nation in 1948, the clock started. And how much are we into it? That's anybody's guess, but I think we are into it. That's my guess.
I mean, I agree with you. I mean, I don't know if the actual end times themselves have begun, but I think we're kind of in the pregame show. We're in the, you know, like when you go to a rock concert and they've got an opening act. I mean, I think we're in the arena. I think we're in the zone. I think we're moving like a ship who is on the edge of troubled waters. I think a bad moon's rising. I think we're going in to the maelstrom.
Now, who is the opening act for end times? That's the question. We'll be back with more questions, final calls with Alex Jones. Well, we'll be back in a moment with final calls with Alex Jones. I don't know what happened last week, but our television show Beyond Belief had a huge spike in viewership. If you want to watch it, take a look at it and all the other programs associated with it for 10 days free. simply go to this website and you fill out the information, www.beyondbelief.com. George Norrie back with Alex Jones. Let's go right to the calls, Alex. They continue to fly and flood in for you. Right in Michigan, Nick's with us. Hey, Nick, your turn. Go ahead.
Hi there.
Hi.
Okay, so the enemy within, as a veteran, I'm supposed to defend, protect the Constitution. I take that to mean my fellow countrymen. The duty of a patriot is to protect his fellow countrymen.
That's right.
So when I learned, in hearing interviews with Andrew Carrington Hitchcock and Tex Mars, whom I know Alex Jones knows personally, that McNamara, LBJ, and John and St. McKaniac's Admiral Daddy all conspired to recall the SOS-summoned aircraft during the USS Liberty attack on June 8, 67. The following day, Israel invades Golan Heights in Syria, steals a large chunk of land that just happens to be along the Litani River. Okay? Now, what was the result? No investigation. The 135 survivors of USS Liberty were threatened with their very lives. No investigation.
Well, that's a story, Alex, I have not dived into yet. Have you? The USS Liberty and that disaster?
Yes, clearly they found out some information going on during a war that Israel was having with Egypt, and the ship was attacked by Israel, and there was a cover-up of it, and I've interviewed a lot of the people that are now deceased, including Admiral Moorer, who was the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff later, but who was a top admiral at the time, and clearly it was a false flag. They wanted to attack and sink the ship so that they could basically blame it on Egypt to get the U.S. into the war. And this is just a standard operating procedure for governments. It's outrageous.
That was a bad time. There are always bad times.
Governments do it across the board, and not Russia does it. Just all these major governments. I mean, the British wrote the book on false flags, and of course, sometimes it's a target of opportunity. Sometimes you'll attack a ship by accident, so then you'll go ahead and kill everybody on board, and then blame it on your enemy. I mean, it's just a tactic of dirty warfare.
Yeah, you know, Israel, whom I support, and you've supported them. I've heard you talk about them on your program. That must have been a tense time for everybody, especially if they did that. Horrible.
Sure. I mean, that's what I'm getting at. When we talk about the U.S. government, I mean, regimes come, presidents, prime ministers go. Israel clearly, you know, is under attack almost continually, and at that time was under attack by multiple nations. It's just a fact that what we were told on the news about the USS Liberty was not true. And it's just another example of why there's no confidence, almost no confidence in these major governments, especially because once a government leaves, the new government almost never goes after them. And I think there would be more confidence in the system if, you know, we had more events like Richard Nixon. I mean, you look at the things Nixon got in trouble for. It's nothing compared to what more modern presidents have done, and now they get away with it. So, I mean, I just think it's important that governments not be given a blank check.
Next up, whose turn? It is Jim in Long Island, New York, east of the Rockies. Jim, thank you. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. I live in New York, and I just want to thank you for everything you do.
Sure.
Alex, George, it's amazing to be able to connect with us and see what's going on with ISIS. They tried to go into Syria last year, and then all of a sudden now you have ISIS. They're going into Syria, and people don't remember it. It's unbelievable. So my question is, I work in the media, in television media, investigative journalism, and I've woken up thanks to a lot of your work. And, you know, like you said, buildings don't just collapse. We see what birds do to jetliners. Imagine what steel does to them. The Connecticut shooting. You know, you watch the raw video of people walking in circles. That doesn't happen. There's something wrong there. But I feel like the movement to expose the truth of these things has kind of lost momentum. And if you bang your head against the wall, is there anything that smoking gun or something, if I wanted to pitch a story or look into it, that I could show people and say, look, you know, and my town, a lot of people died in 9/11. So initially, truthers had a bad rap, but silently, people are starting to realize that something's up. And even in the news media, my editors are starting to say, you know, something's up. You know, it didn't really happen that way, but you know, there's still a stigma attached to it, and unless there's something you can hit them over the head with, it's tough.
Well, it is tough.
Well, sure. I mean, again, this stuff is very, very complex. There's a spectrum. There are people that agree with whatever the establishment is putting out, even though that establishment may change like the weather. So there are people that go along with whatever the mainstream media says because it makes them feel good, they think it's safe, not because they actually believe it. And then on the other end of the spectrum, you've got people that think the earth is still flat, who question everything and are total kooks, not based on research, not based on really trying to find the truth. They just make up their own reality. So Karl Rove famously told the New York Times that he was history's actor now when he was heading things up for Bush. He said, I don't care what the truth is. I control the media. I will put out what I say reality is, and it may change 180 degrees tomorrow. It doesn't matter. You will dutifully report what I said. Well, actually, it made the New York Times and Washington Post, who were both there at the cocktail party, upset, so they wrote about it. They withheld his name for a few years, but later admitted, no, it was Karl Rove. So you have people on one end claiming they control reality in the establishment, and you've got other people on the other end who are true conspiracy theorists who just make up whatever they want. And then those of us in the middle who are really trying to research history, really trying to interview a wide spectrum of guests, we get demonized because you're not supposed to question authority. You're supposed to go along to get along. You're supposed to shut up. Well, Americans aren't supposed to act like that. That's the creed of slaves. If you ask for a smoking gun to tell people about to get them to wake up, look at history. Government, according to the University of Hawaii, there on the Big Island, did a study 2 decades ago about democide, death by government. Government killed 261 million non-military combatants, innocent people, in the 20th century alone. So government's the number one cause of unnatural death. Of course you should watch it. Of course you should keep it on a short leash. Of course you should be concerned about it. That's really the big common sense statement. Do you really believe they're not listening to you? Do you literally believe there's not tyranny? Do you actually think that there's nothing to worry about? Because as soon as you have that attitude, all the corrupt elements are able to take over the government. It's not the government is bad inherently itself. It's that when good people do nothing, as George Washington said, evil men and tyrants flourish. Many other founders said the same thing. Many other philosophers, when good people aren't involved in the process, it creates a vacuum. Bad people come in and they take it over. But of course there was a stigma for people questioning the official story of 9/11 because the official story was a lie. And a corrupt establishment wanted to build their whole future narrative and their whole future authoritarian takeover on that fraud. And so to attack that fraud was to attack the foundation of their entire rollout. But of course some of us had to hit the barbed wire first and be attacked or even killed, like the deputy emergency manager in New York, Barry Jennings. Of course some of us had to do that first, but it doesn't matter. They take us out or demonize us for a time, but we rise like a phoenix later, like Gary Webb, who exposed CIA drug trafficking. Maybe they demonize the person and assassinate the person, like myself, and I rise like a phoenix later because history comes out, the truth comes out. But sometimes you physically are killed, but still your spirit is alive in freedom and liberty and is resurrected with a top movie around the world like Kill the Messenger, which I own no stock in. I'm just endorsing it because I knew Gary Webb and the film is accurate. The film is true. So in the final equation, what matters is getting your soul right with God, getting your soul right with the universe, getting your soul lined up with the truth. And it doesn't mean you're perfect. It just means you're not a chump, a sucker, a schmuck, an idiot, a mark, a fool that buys in to what a bunch of known liars are telling us. The system is betting that you're stupid. The system is betting that you're going to lay down and take lies. The system is betting that you're a failure and they can just run over you. Well, you know what? History shows that's not how it works. It doesn't matter. Like I told Piers Morgan 2 years ago, if they get 51% of the lemmings voting for gun control, we're not turning them in. It's over. All it takes is a highly motivated minority, like 5% that we had in 1776, to refuse, and it's over. And I'm not calling for a physical 1776. I'm calling for a velvet revolution, an intellectual revolution of renaissance and debate and awakening, and the opposite of political correctness, real liberalism, where you have liberal open debate. Thomas Jefferson was a real liberal. The people running our country now are not liberals, ladies and gentlemen. They've hijacked all these terms. What's liberal is George Norrie letting his guests talk more than him and not being an egomaniac like me. What's liberal is hearing all sides. What's liberal is exploring what's in the closet. What's liberal is more freedom and owning your own property and raising your own children and having a right to self-defense to own guns. And so that's why I say I'm a classical liberal, and most constitutional professors that would be called right-wing today or libertarian will tell you, no, I'm a liberal. A liberal means more freedom, not less.
I don't hear the term wing nuts anymore. Do you?
It doesn't work. I mean, if you interview some former CIA agent, whistleblower, people admire that. They know the wing nut, tinfoil hat. It doesn't work anymore.
It's gone. Let's go to Kat in Santa Cruz, California. First time caller. Kat, I'm glad we got you on. Go ahead.
Yeah, great. George, Alex, thank you for what you guys do. I'm a nightly listener to both of your shows. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you.
Alex, talk a bit about the possibility of mandatory Ebola vaccinations, quarantine centers, and what we need to take to build up immunity besides nation's iodine. Thank you.
Ah, yes, the old vaccine push. It'll come. It'll come.
George, I remember hearing you back in like 2002 warning people about that national movement by the federal government, the Emergency States Response Act, I think was the name, and it was going to force everybody to take vaccines. It was a federal law to make it mandatory. And I started the interview, you know, tonight saying it's not that I don't believe in vaccination technology. It's certainly real. It's that you can't trust this corrupt system with the vaccines who are given liability protection. And yes, they've got all these vaccines, as you said, about to come online. 35 years of Ebola and all these outbreaks, and just now they're ready with a whole bunch of vaccines.
Yeah, the vaccines are going to come out in just a couple months. And you know what, folks? This is what we recommend, because we don't know how widespread this is going to be. We think we're going to have millions of cases in Africa. Could happen here. You all need to get a vaccination. It'll cost you $50, but so what? And all of a sudden, they start plugging millions of people, Alex, with it. I can see it coming.
Absolutely. And look, imagine, they call it vaccines. We should do a whole show sometime with some medical doctors, because I know you've interviewed them, about they just call it vaccines. This isn't your grandma's vaccine, or this isn't the vaccine given in England 400 years ago for smallpox or 500. The vaccines they've got now are really nanotech. They're engineered viruses. They're engineered pathogens. They've got anti-stress vaccines that actually basically lobotomize you, your higher emotions. They're giving veterans now that have PTSD. And it's just done quietly. Oh, it's just a vaccine. You won't be upset anymore. Yeah, and you won't be able to write poetry anymore, and you won't be able to enjoy Beethoven anymore, and you won't be able to cry when grandma dies anymore. We are already living in a science fiction movie, George.
We are, or a nightmare.
Yeah.
Let's go to Devin. Devin's in St. Louis. Welcome to the program, Devin. Go ahead.
What's up, guys? How you guys doing tonight?
Great. Thank you.
Couple things. One is, you know, earlier you had mentioned something about, you know, pretty much like our nation coming to a point where, you know, enough is enough. I mean, what do we do as far as, you know, an average person like me, you know, what do we do to start making a change here? Or, you know, are we just mentally programmed, you know, or, you know, us as a society is just too remedial to, you know, get something going here for ourselves?
Devin, there's an anti-stress vaccine that does eat parts of your brain coming out, and it'll make you never feel upset again. Take the shot, and everything will be okay. World government, and our new loving world leader care about you. Of course, I'm not even being sarcastic. I'm just illustrating. Whatever you do, just wake up to the full incredible nature of what's happening. Warn everybody you know. Tell them to tune into shows like coasttocoastam.com and appreciate true independent media because they're trying to shut it down. That's what I was trying to say earlier. What do? The people are awake. We've kind of won the info war, but then people just kind of sit back and say, what do? So we've proven the case to people. The statistics all show that. The polls show it. But then they're saying, what do? I would ask George, run for local office. Run for federal office. Vote with your dollars. Support local farmers. Support local business. I mean, we have the tools ourselves to change our world. George, that's a good question for you because I respect your view. What are a few things we should do to turn the world around?
We got to keep doing what we're doing. And we just can't give up. I mean, it's a tough, tough battle. It may not work. They may win in the long run, Alex. They think. I've always said that no matter how rough that roller coaster gets that you just mentioned, we're going to win. And it's going to be one heck of a ride, though.
Well, I mean, I agree. God looks at our heart and what we did. And this life is a test. All the evidence shows it overwhelmingly. So it's not even about the destination. It's about the journey. I think you just said it. Do the right thing. Stand up for what's right. Doesn't mean you're perfect. Have your heart right. Try to help people. Try to be honest. Try to find the truth. Try to have courage. And I think God will do the rest.
Let's see if we can grab one more from Jack in San Diego. Jack, go for it.
Yes. You know, Alex, I was wondering if you found it curious that Mr. Duncan's girlfriend and her children did not get Ebola from him. How did they avoid that? And what do you think the future of Ebola is going to look like in America, say, this time next year?
Great question. I find it very suspicious that two nurses got it from Duncan, and then his family did when he was vomiting all over the house and all over the street. They could be lying to us about people. I mean, I think they're covering up how big it is. I mean, I hope it's contained. I want to believe that. But everything they're doing points towards trying to spread it. The whole story doesn't make sense. It's like a police investigation. I don't know the answers. I just know something smells really bad. George, what do you think?
Yep, same thing. I agree with you on that. Alex, almost out of time. Do want you to get your information out about your websites and your DVDs are always available, aren't they?
You bet. I mean, just like coasttocoastam.com and your show is so important. I don't want folks to take this for granted because we work really hard. You work hard. These are very important islands of real debate that we have here. Infowars.com, prisonplanet.com. Follow me on Twitter at Real Alex Jones. I've made more than 20 films are available on DVD at Infowars.com and a lot of interesting research as well on Ebola, immune system information at InfowarsLife.com. George, thank you so much for everything you do. It's a great honor to be alive on this planet and to be sharing it with people like you and Tom Danheiser and the whole Coast to Coast AM family.
You are one of a kind. Alex Jones, always invited here on Coast to Coast AM. Always remember back 2003, one of our callers called during an open line and said, hey, you need to get that Alex Jones guy on the air. Didn't even know who he was. I started listening and said, well, I'm going to put my neck in the noose, but I'm putting him on. And he's been on ever since. Back in a moment as we talk about mediumship. That's right. From the mouths of mediums, Dr. Julie Bischel joins us next.